Srimad-Bhagavatam class is from the 11th canto, chapter 3, which is called Liberation from the Illusory Energy, on text 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We sing this together. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Ujiraya Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naisiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very, want to do that separately? You know the English too? Okay, can we do it together then? Okay. Sorry, I'm having one of these days and it's just 8:15. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we're doing text 41 today. Shri Raja Vacha.
Shri Raja
Vacha. Karma Yogam Vadatana.
Karma Yogam
Vadatana.
Purusho Yena Samskritaha.
Purusho Yena Samskritaha. Vidyu yedha sukarmani. Vidhu yedha sukarmani.
Nais karmyan vindate param.
Nais karmyan vindate param.
Shiratovacha.
Karma yogam vadatana.
Purusho yena samskritaha.
Vidhu yena sukarmani.
Nais karmyan vindate param.
Please chant. Students.
Karma yogam vadatana.
Purusho yena samskrita.
Vidhu yena sukarmani. Nice Karmyan Vindate Param.
Ladies. Students. Sri Rajuvacha. The king said. Okay, which king? You sure? Not you. Excuse me. He's always a student. No. Okay, King Nimi, it's true, but okay. Karma Yogam. The practice of dovetailing one's work with the Supreme. Vedata. Please tell. Naha. Us. Purusha. A person. Yena. By which. Samskrita. Being refined. Vidhuya. Getting rid of. Iha. In this life. Ashu. Quickly. Karmani. Materialistic activities. Nice Karmyam. Freedom from fruitive reactions. Vindate. Enjoys. Param. Transcendental. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. King Nimi said, O great sages. So who are the sages? The nine yogendras. Okay, so he's talking to all of them. He says, O great sages, please speak to us about the process of karma yoga. Purified by this process of dedicating one's practical work to the Supreme, a person can very quickly free himself from all material activities, even in this life, and thus enjoy pure life on the transcendental platform. So let's say it together, all together. King Nimi said, O great sages, please speak to us about the process of karma yoga. Purified by this process of dedicating one's practical work to the Supreme, a person can very quickly free himself from all material activities, even in this life, and thus enjoy pure life and transcendental platform. So the purport is, amazingly enough, readable today. A readable length. So we'll read the purport today and honor those devotees who work so diligently and nicely in translating Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada's disciples purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:5, what's the title of the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita? Karma Yoga. Okay. Third chapter, Bhagavad Gita, text number 5 says, want to say it together? Nahi kaschichanam api jatutis yatya karma krit karyate yavasa karma sava prakriti jargunai. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. Who knows what impulses means in this context? I'll read it again. All men are forced to act helplessly according to the impulses born of the modes of material nature. What does impulse mean? Baranga? G? Excuse me? Kind of like an instinct, almost. True. But a little bit more. Something else? Someone else's understanding of impulses? Yes, Prabhu. As if by force. Just as if someone comes behind you and pushes you, what's going to happen to you? You're going to move forward, right? So an impulse is kind of like that. It's kind of like you're forced to act by these pushings of material nature. Since the living entity cannot remain inactive, he must learn to dedicate his activities to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse from Bhagavad Gita as follows. It is not a question of embodied life, but it is the nature of the soul to be always active. So you know what that means? So Srila Prabhupada said it's not that just in human life that you're active. It's not just in human life, but the soul. Because the soul is active, then the body, we embodied in human life, we're also active. Without the presence of the spirit soul, the material body cannot move. The body is only a dead vehicle to be worked by the spirit soul, which is always active and cannot stop even for a moment. Have you ever experienced that? We could ask the teachers. Have you ever experienced that there's people that can't stop moving even for a moment? Yes. And what's the duty of the teachers in the school? To engage that propensity to act in Krishna's service. So thank you very much for your service. As such, the spirit soul has to be engaged in the good work of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it will be engaged in occupations dictated by illusory energy. In contact with material energy, the spirit soul acquires material modes, and to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties enjoined in the shastras. Affinities. What does that one mean? I'm going to read it again. And to purify the soul from such affinities, it is necessary to engage in the prescribed duties of the shastras. Affinity. Yes, sir? Can you just say it loud? Because I'm like a sin? Okay. Almost. Good. Thank you. Anyone else? Affinities? Like attraction. You're attracted to it. You have an affection for it. There's something, even it might not be good, but we have a little of attraction for it. So to take our attraction from materialistic tendency, we have to put our attraction in the service of the Lord. Engage our mind, our senses, and our activities in the service of the Lord. Not just the body. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes it's really easy to engage, it's easier to engage the body in Krishna's service. And where's the mind? The mind is on the soccer game, perhaps. Or it's on my dance lesson, or it's on, you know, it can be anywhere, and I could be doing this and that, making ghee whips, or even offering aarti, thinking, oh, after this aarti, I have to go to the store and buy bananas. So the whole point of bhakti yoga is engage the body in Krishna's service, but engage the mind. Engage the mind in Krishna's service. Because if the mind doesn't get trained, if it doesn't get trained to get unstuck from its affinity to matter, from its affection to materialistic activities, it gets somehow or other. It's really, because we've been in the material world for so long, like a really long time doing materialistic activities, thinking this is going to make me happy, and that's going to make me happy, and this is what I like, and this. So it's the mind automatically has this like a magnet and an iron. Have you done any magnetical experiments in your classes? You know, you've got your iron and you've got your magnet, and what happens? Depending on how strong the magnet is it doesn't even have to be very close to the iron and it'll go zooming. I have a particularly strong magnet at home. And it gets stuck everywhere if I'm not careful. It just goes zoom. It finds nails in the floor, you know, under the floor. You know, I have a wooden floor, and it'll find where the nail is underneath the wood because the magnet is so strong. It'll go through the wood and get stuck to the nail. So the mind, our mind has an attraction for playing this, that, so many things. But we have to bring our mind and try to put it at Krishna's lotus feet somehow or other. And I'll try to finish this. Okay. But I'm going to finish this point. The whole point is that King Mimi's asking, how is it that we can be engaged in practical activities that we have an attraction for, we have a natural tendency for, but how can we get those activities to be karma yoga or activities dedicated to the service of the Lord? So those same activities that we have an attraction for end up bringing us to Krishna. And I'll give you an example. Arjuna. So you remember the whole setting of Bhagavad Gita, right? There's Arjuna on the battle of Kurukshetra. He had gone through all the trials and tribulations with Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and so many things. You're all well aware of the poison cake and the house of lack and the so many in disrobing of Draupadi and so many insults that he went through. But there he is. It's kind of like a similar situation like here in the classroom. The Kurus are on one side now. This is like we could say this could be Kurukshetra. The Kurus are on one side and the Pandavas and all their forces are on the other side. And Krishna and Arjun go up in their chariot right down the middle there. And Arjun looks over and he sees everybody he knows. I mean, they're not just strangers. He sees everybody he knows. He sees his cousins, his brothers, his fathers, etc., etc. And so his reaction is, I'm not going to do this. This isn't good for me. I don't think this is good for me. Nothing good is going to come from this. Govinda, I'm not going to fight. And so Govinda, Krishna, kindly tells Arjuna the whole instruction of Bhagavad Gita and says, and the conclusion is that if you don't fight, you know what Krishna says to Arjuna? He says, Arjuna says, I'm not going to fight because this is going to bring me a bad result. And Krishna says to Arjuna, if you don't fight, sooner or later, your nature, the impulses, the pushings in you are going to make you fight in some situation or another, because that's your nature. He had been trained in warfare. He had that nature. He had that Kshatriya bhav, his whole embodiment was to protect the citizens, and he learned archery, and he knew all of these things, and that was his whole meditation. And there he was about to utilize it in its proper service of defending dharma, righteousness. And he says, I'm not going to do it. Krishna says, so if you don't do it, these impulses that are in you are going to force you to act anyway. So better you act this way because I'm telling you, I want you to do this. So act in my service, nimitta matra. Just become an instrument. Remember on that kirtan shirt, I'm happy to be an instrument? So you could say, nimitta matra. I'm an instrument in Krishna's service. Krishna wanted the battle to happen because he wanted to erase all the evil forces in the world, whatever. It was his desire, and he wanted Arjuna to act. If Arjuna act according to his propensity, which was fighting and killing and this and that, if he act in according, so then he would become purified. But he says, Krishna says a very important thing. He said, act But think of me. Or it says, think of me and then act. In other words, do it because I'm telling you to do it. Don't just act and have your mind thinking that you're the doer. He explains so many things. You're not the doer. You're just the instrument. I'm arranging everything. So that's one of the lessons in Bhagavad Gita. We need to try to develop that attitude that we're not the doer. That Krishna's the doer. Krishna's giving us the ability. And we have certain abilities and tendencies and so many things. We can act, we can utilize them, and we should utilize them in Krishna's service. I'm going to try to finish this purport without forgetting the next point that I have in my mind already. Okay. Ordinary people often question the busy activities of the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, mistaking such activities to be ordinary material work. Srila Jiva Goswami has stated in this connection, karmya karmanyeva tajiyanti natu nitya naimitikani palasyaiva vindititadvat. One should give up selfish activities performed for one's personal sense gratification, since the results of such thoughtless work is further material bondage. But one should offer one's regular occupational duties to the Supreme Lord, and thus such activities become transcendental devotional service. By the words, Tasmad Guru Prapadyeta Jigyashu Shreya Uttamam, this chapter has clearly explained that dovetailing one's work with the service of the Lord is an art one should learn from the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, if one whimsically declares his materialistic work to be transcendental devotional service, there will be no actual result. Therefore, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, one should not mistake the word naishkarmya to indicate inactivity. Rather, it indicates transcendental activity under the guidance of the Lord and his representative. One other thing that I forgot was Omagyanatamirandasya Jinanjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in ignorance. And I'm still so much in ignorance. But still, Srila Prabhupada's very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm eternally indebted to him for this. So again, this idea, have you ever noticed that not everybody's the same? There are some people that are really, you could say, they have a tendency to, they just love to study, they remember things easy, they memorize things easy, they're really intelligent, and they're kind of like, you know, if they have any spare time, they're going to read a book, or something like that. And then there's other people that are really, you know, active, strong, physical, they like hard physical labor. Then there's other people that are artistic, and they like, you know, beautiful things, and they like to draw beautiful things. And then there's so many different types of personalities. Do you ever notice that even that's present in the animals? Like, not all birds are the same. Not all birds, you know, there's crows, and what do they like? Garbage and things. And then there's swans, and what do they like? They're graceful. They like clean water. They like lotus flowers. So that, you know that saying, birds of a feather flock together? So people of like nature, they flock together. So what is that nature? What we could say here, what I'm going to say here is, those are the three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. People are pushed by different varieties of modes of nature, and because of that, they have different attractions. So Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he's also, here's another question for you. Did you ever wonder why there's not just one book, like one Bible, one Bhagavad Gita? Just one, why doesn't Krishna just have Bhagavad Gita and nothing else? And why in Bhagavad Gita does he say, well, you can do this and you can do that and you can do that? Why doesn't he just say, just surrender to me? And that's all. Why isn't there just one verse in Bhagavad Gita? Sarva Dharma Parijaja. Just get to it. Sarva Dharma Parijaja. Saranam Vraja. Aham Tvam Sarva Pavebhyo. Why doesn't he just say that? The reason is, it's because not everybody's there. So not everybody's there at that point. So just like not all the birds are going to go to the same place, they're going to go to what they like. So some are going to go to the lakes, some are going to go to the garbage dumps. Some people are going to go to the arts and crafts room in school, and some people are going to go to the library. They're going to go to what they like because we have different tendencies. So Krishna says, excuse me, he says, take all of those tendencies and propensities that you have and dovetail them in Krishna's service. That's real intelligence. So dovetail them in Krishna's service. And that's what he's telling Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. He's telling him, you have the propensity, you have the tendency to protect the citizens. You're very strong and you're adept and you're able and you're capable and you're trained. You have that propensity. Use it in my service. Don't use it for yourself. If you use it for your own selfish desires, then what happens? The verse and the purport says, then you become entangled. It's like flypaper. You know flypaper? Not so popular these days. In the old days, there used to be, before there were screens on the windows, there was this sticky paper, like wax paper, that had sticky stuff on both sides of it. It was unfortunate for flies. But somehow or other, they would be attracted and even if they just got near it, sometimes their one little wing, and they'd get stuck on it. And then they'd take his little leg and they'd try to get his wing off, and his leg and his arm would be stuck. So flypaper, whatever you touch. And if you ever had the unfortunate experience of bending your head down and then coming up near the flypaper, you are very sad. So material life is like flypaper. That's what you can make for a note. So next week, when they're going to ask you what she said in class, she said material life is like flypaper. The material activities, every single thing you do without the intention of pleasing Krishna sticks you again with a reaction that's going to make you come back to the material world. Give you karma. So it's like there's a reaction. So one might say, a less intelligent person might say, okay, then I'm not going to do anything. Oh. Okay, enough of that. I can't do, how long can you do that? How long can you do nothing? Some of you, not very long. It's true. So Krishna's giving ways for people who are on different levels of understanding how they can engage in Krishna's service. Some people can't think of Krishna at all, but maybe they could give a donation every now and then to a good cause. That's great. Do it. Some people might have a little more developed consciousness and they want to do some work for others, to help others. Do that in Krishna's service. And some people might think, you know, I've tried to be happy in so many different ways. I see that the experience of the world is such that everybody's working to be happy. Everybody. Who do you know who's working to be poor? Oh, aside from teachers. Thank you. Thank you. That is a selfless, amazing job. Dedication. Okay. But still, even though you might be working poor, I said working poor, working to be poor, but who's endeavoring for the flu? Not me, but it came anyway. Who's endeavoring for wrinkles on their face? You know, we're endeavoring for so many things. We're working really hard. We're trying to stay fit and young and healthy and so many things. And it happens. Your hair turns gray even when you don't want it to. Just ask a few people in this room. Did they want their hair to turn gray? Mm-mm. No, anyway. So it happens. So, forgot my point. So what we want to do is, with whatever strength and tendencies that we have now, like somebody might have a tendency Just like for our Damodar translation, we had a nice song. Kala Kantapuru had versified the translation in English, so we got. So some people have a tendency like that to write poetry. So write poetry and express your love for Krishna, or your desire to love Krishna. That's good. Find something that you like to do, and do it for Krishna. And because if you don't find something that you like to do, then you'll be forced to do things anyway. You're gonna grow up, you're gonna have to work, you're gonna have to do this and do that. So you're gonna have a tendency to do what you like anyway. So try to make now, try to practice and channel your mind to find out what it likes to do and dovetail it for Krishna. And that's the whole message of Bhagavad Gita, and that's a very simplified message of what karma yoga is. It's very simplified, I understand. For the back of the room, it's very simple. But for the front of the room, it's comprehensible, you know. That karma yoga, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, karma yoga means to act. It means to act as explained here. Acting according to one's propensity in a way that's religious, it's pious, it's transcendental, that will end up freeing ourselves from this flypaper, this sticky reaction. The material world is a sticky place, because whatever little thing you do that's not dovetailed, that's not directly for Krishna's service, leads one to get a reaction, and that reaction is means more reaction, more entanglement, more birth and death. So how about some discussion or questions or comments? Or yes?
So what if you're saying that karma yoga is every kind of
I don't know what that experience is. Oh no, so that was a joke. Okay, so the point was is that we're talking about every time you turn away from Krishna, consciously turn away or whatever, you get some reaction. But what if you're doing something that's, you know, externally for Krishna, but your mind isn't there? Then you get the benefit of doing. You get the benefit. There's always benefit there to be had. There's more benefit to be had when your mind is there and your heart is there. So that's why Srila Prabhupada, one time, one of my friends, Sita asked Srila Prabhupada, sometimes I don't feel like bowing down. So many times we bow down, and sometimes we don't feel like doing it. And so Prabhupada said, that's okay. Do it anyway, even though you don't feel like it. And gradually you will come to your mind will follow what your body does gradually. But it's not, although I'm saying that, I also want to say it's not 100% guaranteed that your mind follows your body. Usually your mind dictates and your body follows the dictates of the mind. And that's what training means, and that's what yoga means. The whole thing is training the mind, bring the mind from wherever the mind wanders. One has to bring it back to Krishna's lotus feet so that it's intentionally done. And perhaps, and you can see that, and you've experienced that in life. Has anyone ever experienced, okay, here's just an example. Like somebody offend somebody, and you know, like me, okay, I offend somebody, and I know I did it wrong, and I know I should apologize, so I go up to the person and say, Jai Shirani, I'm really sorry I did that, goodbye. Now, what is she going to feel like? Does she feel like, oh yeah, she's really sorry? No, she's going to know that I'm just doing it because I'm supposed to do it, you know? But if I went up and I explained, And I said, you know, those impulses really pushed me the wrong way, and I'm really sorry, and I brought you a present. it kind of, hopefully, it would melt her heart. So in the same way, if we're doing something for Krishna and we're not really thinking of it, he knows. But he, at the same time, because Krishna is so kind, he appreciates the endeavor. But then if we do something and we think, my dear Lord, I'm so rotten and fallen, but please, I'm trying to do this for you. What do you think he's going to think? Oh, that poor baby. Let me help her. You know, like that. Actually, as soon as I was saying that, I was remembering one time Srila Prabhupada was giving that example. He was saying that same thing. He said, Krishna doesn't need your offerings. He doesn't need your bhoga. He's not hungry, you know. And besides that, he owns all the rascals in the world anyway, and all the flowers, and all whatever you could bring him. It's already his, you know. But then Prabhupada said, and he started to cry. Prabhupada started to cry right away. He said, my Lord, I'm so rotten and fallen, but I brought this for you. Please accept it. Because that love was there in his heart. So we try with love to do things. Any other discussions or Jai Shri Radhe?
If the activity cannot be dovetailed, such as like playing soccer, then can we fix our minds so that because there are activities that aren't necessarily...
Exactly.
I mean, we think about like a butcher. That's an extreme.
Right.
But there are also activities that are just...
I guess it depends on which side of the pendulum of the fanatic Hare Krishna or the liberal Hare... You know, yeah. But the point is that there are innocent activities like playing soccer. And they're important. And why are they important? They're important for strong, healthy bodies. They are. They're important for so many things. So we could go with the attitude, Krishna, I'm going to try my best. Krishna, I'm going to try my best and make the best endeavor I can for my team. I know it's not just me. I know I'm not the star player, the only one, the best one. I know it's a team effort. I'm going to try my best, and we're going to leave the results up to you. Oh, that's a great question. How would you like to add to that, Prabhu? Any comments that you'd like to make, Janmasthami Prabhu?
Well, in any situation, you can think of how you can, at least you can think of Krishna
mm-hmm.
when you're doing it,
mm-hmm.
and do it as an offering to Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stretch, you know, soccer?
Yeah. Okay, but
when I win for Krishna, you know, and
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. You know, whatever we do, we can represent Srila Prabhupada, represent the Hare Krishnas, and do it well, and
yes.
do it with integrity, and, you know, do your academics with integrity and do them well, and be people to be admired, so
exactly.
people will look at you and go, oh, that's something... That
right.
must be something really great,
right?
Because of how.
And then
are.
Another thing is too is that we can remember 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita. What does he say? Krishna says, "I'm the ability in man." He's giving us the ability. We're thinking, see, and that way, then we're thinking of Krishna. He's the ability. And what if he gives the other team? Speed of D is coming for. What if he gives the other team the more ability? What if he gives the other team more ability and they defeat us like by a lot? And then what's our reaction going to be? That's important. What our reaction has been. Congratulations to the other guys, you know. Appreciate. You did really well, you know. Ramiya Prabhu?
I was just remembering my friend, Gujaraj Prabhu, you know, pray his operation goes well today. And he told me this story that he sells houses, real estate, and he was driving one customer, not a devotee, by the Hare Krishna temple to take him to show him the place. And the man looked and he says, oh, that's the Hare Krishna temple. That's where they grow all those soccer players.
How do you like that? D to D has...
I'm confused about all the conversation about soccer, you know? Because I was reading, and Lilamrita Prabhupada was played soccer, and he liked to be...
Bonafide.
Huh? And he said, and according to the Leelamriti, he liked to play goalie because he didn't have to run around so much.
Uh-huh. That's dovetailing your propensity. Okay, go ahead.
So the question that popped in my mind is, when he playing goalie, like meditating on whatever, which Bhagavatam verse do you think he was
You're meditating
about?
On what the goal of life is.
The goal, there you go.
Okay? The goal of life. Okay? All right, I think we've got on our soccer diversion quite a bit. Prangovinda Prabhu? They did. With
I have evidence of Sanatana Goswami Pad's coming.
Yes. There's nothing. Well, see, okay, thank you. That, I don't mean to cut you off, but that also is another understanding that there's nothing that isn't linked up with Krishna. So we have to link everything with Krishna. Gaurangaji, you get the final word.
He was saying that he was on book distribution, and he was kind of saying that you should do whatever you like, but you should do it for Krishna. And the guy's like, I like taking alcohol, and I'm going to take alcohol for Krishna. And so what are you supposed to do, sort of thing?
Well, you know that actually happened with Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was here. Prabhupada said in the lecture, he said, even if a wino, means a person who drinks a lot of alcohol, even if they think the taste of this wine is Krishna, then gradually, and this is very gradual, it's not the recommended process, but gradually they'll become purified. So Mother Jayashri Radhe, she also gave the example of a butcher. So we're not talking about sinful activities. So there are parameters. We have not everything can be dovetailed. I like to go out and kill people. Well, sorry, we can't do that. But we try to dovetail our propensities within the parameters of devotional service. Thank you very much for your extended attention. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you.